Jeremiah 31:3, our theme text says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Have those words and that sentiment and that meaning come more sweetly to you over the last few days? It has to me. The sentiment of this kind of love, the kind of love that his heart has, this is the love of God, an everlasting love. A love that continues to draw us, to yearn for us, to pursue us, to reach out to us. This is the heart of God. And this is his heart of love. Do you feel love this morning? I feel so loved, not just as a feeling, but by faith, I know it is a reality. And another blessing that I often receive in preparing, while my wife was here sharing this morning, I was quietly staying in the room, taking time, very special time with God. And I love that time because those of you that have never had to prepare to speak have missed a blessing, at least this one blessing, and that is feeling my need of this heart of love, to be immersed in it. Because you know, without experiencing the power of his heart of love into our hearts, we can say the right words, but it's God who changes hearts. It is God who moves upon hearts. And once again this morning, as I was kneeling before God, I found that experience that for me is a very sweet experience, and that is the heartbreaking power of the love of God. And I love this because you can't manufacture it. And just kneeling before God this morning and expressing my need to him, expressing my desire to him that his love would reach into my heart, move my heart, immerse me with his love, I found myself just being broken with tears running down my face. I love that experience. Do you know why? Because I find myself in a position of not only recognizing my need, but experiencing the need being met in me. Is that an experience we all need? I feel my need. I feel my need for him to work in me to make a difference in what I share today. And when I experience that kind of brokenness, it's a good brokenness, okay? It's not a brokenheartedness, but it's an awareness of my need that without him, I can do nothing. Yeah, I can get up here and speak, but without his power working in all of us, it won't make the difference. The words will not make the difference. This kind of love is the unconditional love of God. Unconditional love, a kind of love that is so foreign to our humanity, a kind of love that loves us so deeply, that loved us so much before we ever knew our need, a love that was willing to give Jesus to redeem us, a love that will not let us go. It is not an unconditional salvation. You know, many people get a little bit confused, and I found myself questioning, so there's no conditions? Oh, there are conditions to salvation, friends. But there is nothing we can do to God or not do ourselves that will change that love he has for us. Is that good news? And that love will never stop pursuing us, will never stop reaching out to us until there is no other way that he can get to us. Do you believe that? And we need to surrender our hearts that love so conditionally to His heart of love. We need to surrender all that we are and all that we hold on to the one who has given all to reach our hearts. You see, our love is so conditional. Our love is so conditional that it hurts. It hurts. Do you believe that? It hurts the heart of God, who is constantly, has, is, and always will, until there is no hope, is constantly looking for ways to reach us with His love, to help us somehow. Inspiration says He has 1,000 ways we know not of. Sometimes I pray and I say, Lord, just give me one way that I recognize. He has 1,000 ways. He keeps looking for ways to reach us with His love. And our love is so conditional. If you hurt my feelings, if you say something that I don't like, I can very easily, apart from Christ, have conditional love back to you. That's the way we humans are, because we don't spend enough time being immersed in the love of God. Our love is changeable. Our love is shaped by our circumstances. Our love is often shaped by the people who are closest to us. The people who we love the most and love us the most often have a big part in shaping our view of love and how we respond to others with or without love. It's often shaped by abuse, through pain, rejection, or what we have seen modeled to us that we don't even recognize is having an impact by beholding, changing our lives. I want to tell you for a moment about a very sad situation. A person whose life was shaped by shameless abuse of a father. For years, through adolescence, day after day, shamelessly abused to the point where she begged for some kind of approval from her father and never received it. And that shaped her life and has affected her life all the way through from those adolescent years. It's affected every relationship because of the pain and rejection until this very day, seeking the approval of the one who relentlessly abused her for all those years. Can that kind of abuse be healed? Is it possible? Absolutely. That kind of abuse can be healed, but only by the love of God. There are people in this auditorium today, not because I know you, but because of the number of people that are here today, that have gone through all kinds of life shaping, changing events that have made you to some degree the person that you are today, and how you respond or don't respond to the love of God and the heart of God, and how you respond to others because of what you've been through. Today, God is reaching out to every heart here, and especially to the hearts that have been broken by those painful experiences. You see, I came from a home, fortunately, I came from a home where my dad was my hero. And even though my dad didn't do a lot of things right, and we didn't have family worship, but my dad was a very loving father, a very protective father. And I grew up coming to recognize that my dad would give his life for me. I knew this intuitively, that my dad would do anything for me. And my dad demonstrated that to me one day in a situation, and I won't go into all the story of it, but my brother and I, my brother was 7 years older. He's all of my parents and my brother. I'm the only one left in my family. My brother died just before his 62nd birthday. I'm 62 years old now. He died just a few days before his birthday, but our parents took us on this special tour boat. And this boat was a double-decker, big paddle wheel boat that took us out to an island where there was amusement and recreation. And we could each take a friend with us. So he took one of his big friends and I took one of my friends. And I didn't realize it, but while we were up on the upper deck and I was over here with my friend and my brother was over there at the other end with his friend, because I was a punk. That was the word he used for me. He's 7 years older, and at that time in my life, I was about 9, and I was a punk. Hope you don't even know what that means, but anyway, it means your brother thinks you're too little to hang around with him. And so we were at opposite ends of this big, huge boat, and my brother dropped a cup. I didn't know it. He dropped a cup, and apparently it almost hit somebody on the lower deck, and a few minutes later, there was a few rough teenagers, some big ones, that came up there, and they thought I did it, and they came to me and they walked straight to me and they said, "We're going to throw you overboard. We're going to get our friends and we're going to throw you off this boat." Now, how does that make me feel? I'm 62 years old. When I think of this experience and share it, I still feel my heart start to do the same thing. It pounds faster. And so as soon as they went down to get their friends, I ran over to my brother, and he said, "Oh yeah, I dropped the cup down there. We better go get with Dad." So we went and did get with Dad, and my dad calmed us down, and he said, "It's okay, it'll be fine, don't worry about it. Just stay with me, and believe me," that was one day I had no trouble staying right with him. I sat right next to his chair, and I never moved. After about a half an hour, I started feeling better. And I, you know, it'll be okay. And so, well, about 40 minutes after we were with Dad, I started having this funny feeling. Do you ever have a feeling that somebody is looking at you? How many people have ever experienced that? You just kind of sense somebody's looking. I had this feeling so strongly, and I finally turned around, and there were 10 sets of eyes looking at me. 10 sets of eyes. And one of those sets of eyes was a guy that was much bigger than my dad. And he was in the middle of all these, and that guy said to me, "We're going to throw you overboard." Just like that. I'll never forget it. Aren't you glad it isn't you? "We're going to throw you overboard." And there went my heart again, just racing. And this is the part where my dad stood up. I will never forget this. My dad was my hero. He stood up and he said, he looked this guy in the eyes. He was looking up to him. It was 10 of them, had us surrounded by the edge of the railing of the boat, semicircle. the middle guy, the big one. My dad locked eyes with him. I remember looking at my dad and looking at him and looking back at my dad. And he said these words, "You will have to go through me first." When he said those words, I knew that he meant it with every fiber of his being. And it seemed like moments that their eyes were locked on each other and no one moved. It almost seemed that nobody breathed, especially me. I was just breathless because it was me. And after what seemed like a long time, they dispersed. They ended up being arrested, but they dispersed. And I will never forget the experience of what that lesson taught me, not only for the love of my father who became my hero, because my dad was I was raised on a farm and he was a strong man. And I tell people that even when I was 19 years old and I was working out and I was very fit and hard worker, it still took me two hands to arm wrestle my dad's right arm. 19. Two arms to get his arm down. So he was a strong man, but that wasn't the most important thing. He was a dedicated father that would give himself for his family, and that's the love that God has for us. He says he will never leave us or forsake us. You may not have had that kind of experience. My son-in-law, Alexander, has given me permission to share this, had a very different experience. Very different experience. So he's married to our oldest daughter, Allison. He never met his father until he was 28 years old. So what kind of a picture did he have growing up? During that growing up time in his life, he went through a lot of difficult circumstances. He had five men that came through his home. None of those were his father. But I want to tell you that God protected that young man. God kept him through all those years, through the abuse and the difficulties he went through and the heartache and the pain. He didn't have that kind of picture of a father that I had. He did not have the picture of God that I have and that I had then. But I tell you, he came to know the power of God that can change whatever we have gone through because of his heart of love, if we will respond by faith and surrender our lives. And his life today, I am so proud to have him as my son-in-law. I was so thankful when I walked my daughter down the aisle and so trusted him because I knew the experience that God had done for him in spite of not having a father for 28 years or not knowing his father. Can God take care of us? Can he love us wherever we are? He is always loving us, always reaching out to us, but are we responding to that love? Yes, we are. One way or another, we are responding to that love. We are either ignoring it, taking it for granted, life is okay, or we are responding and letting him have complete access to our hearts all the time. We're all somewhere between those places in our lives. What is it that keeps us from wanting to let him have complete access to our lives? I went through an experience with my own son. Some of you that have been here for I call them the old timers. I'm an old timer too. People that have been here for a while, you know some of the things that we've shared from our hearts. And I remember one day, it was actually one evening, It had been a long time since I had heard from my son. He was going through some difficult decisions at that time in his life. And I missed him. We missed him terribly. It had been like 3 months since we'd communicated, or since he had communicated with us. And this call came in. The Lord is pouring out his spirit, right? This call came in from my son, and I was so excited to hear him on the other end of the phone. And I said to him, I miss you so much. I miss you so much. And he said, I miss you too, Father. He said, and it was a long conversation, but I said, why won't you talk to me, son? He said, I feel guilty. I'm making decisions that I know you really wouldn't want me to make, and I know that I'm hurting you and mother, and it's just easier if I don't talk to you. And I said, son, I understand. I understand why you feel the way that you feel, but I don't think you understand how much your mother and I love you. We love you more today than we have ever loved you. There's nothing you can do that will ever turn our hearts away from loving you. And there was a silence. And he said, but even saying that, he said, I wish you'd just yell at me or something. I wish you'd just tell me how. And I have tried that, by the way. That doesn't work. And I said, I understand why you don't want to communicate. I understand where you're coming from. But I said, can I tell you about where I'm coming from right now? I said, no matter what you do, no matter how painful what you share with me is, just being able to have you communicate with me means so much. I miss you. I love you. And I want you to be able to open your heart, even though you're not where you know you need to be or where you think I want you to be. That was a turning point in our communication. I thank God for that, because he really believed that. And he has since told us on numerous occasions. He said, I knew through the darkest part of my experience that you would never, as parents, ever give up on me. I knew you would never stop loving me. And he said, I knew deep in my heart that I would respond to the love of God and to the love of you as parents, and someday I would come back. Is that good news? Is that encouraging? But that night, and the point of this story, because this is a father's heart talking to you right now, but that night I had a father's heart talk to me, and I laid awake in bed. And the thoughts that came to me, this is no audible voice, but that still small voice speaking to my heart said, do you know that you do that to me sometimes? Do you ever do that? You don't talk to me sometimes, and the reason, you have lots of reasons. You're busy, later. Sometimes you don't feel good about something, but you have lots of reasons. But he said, just like you miss your son. And this is what began to help me understand. The Lord, the thought that came so deeply to me that night was, I miss you too. And for the first time, now here I am, I've got children, and for the first time in my life, I had an understanding that when I don't give time to commune with my Father in heaven,
that he misses me terribly. That he looks for me. That he waits for me. That he longs for me. That he reaches out to me. And when I don't come to him because of whatever it is, he misses me deeply. What an amazing revelation to my heart as a father. And that was another turning point. So there was a turning point for Josiah and us in our communication, and there was a turning point for Tom and his Heavenly Father at that point, that night. And those words in Matthew 6:33, which I memorized when I was about 12 years old in Sabbath school, those words, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," and all these things, whatever it is that's keeping you from coming to God, all these things will be added unto you. And I tell you that that began, and my wife will tell you, that began to be a different kind of experience. Oh yeah, I was spending time with God. But after that experience, my connection with God, recognizing in a new way that God misses us when we don't get there. Because prior to that, I thought, okay, so I'm not taking time for God. I'm too busy. Who loses out? I lose out. Probably won't have the best day today. Probably won't do as well, because without him, we can do how much? But I had a revelation that night that when I miss time with God, it affects the heart of God. And that motivated me like I was reaching out to my own son. Do you hear that? Do you understand that? And I hope that the Holy Spirit brings that thought to you in a new way, that it isn't about what you're going to miss or about what you've got to do or about how busy your life is, but it's about God missing you when you don't have time for him. Sometimes we misunderstand and we don't recognize the love of God. We don't understand. We don't see it. And when we don't see it as love, we don't see God's love in it. I'm going to take you all the way back for just a moment to the Garden of Eden. Did God love Adam and Eve? His first created family. He loved them. Loved them with an everlasting love. Did he still love them when he kicked them out of the Garden of Eden? Now, I use that term, kick them out of the Garden of Eden, because some people have to do some hard things. I shared in one of the breakouts, a dear friend of ours literally had to have her son leave the home because of the kind of disobedience and the terrible things that were happening. And she pled with him and she begged him, basically, "I don't want you to have to leave, but if you continue with this conduct, you must leave." And it actually turned his life around, and I praise God for that. Did Adam and Eve have to leave the garden? Yes. And God recognized that now the way that they were thinking and the decisions they were making, he had to put two angels there with flaming swords to bar the way. That's how quickly sin takes us. He couldn't trust that they'd stay outside and not try to get back to that tree to eat and live forever. Because his heart of love had to do it. It was no less his love that did it. And children, when your parents have to do things that are uncomfortable, where they have to correct you, where they have to do discipline, and I just entreat us as parents, do it in the love of God, because it makes a big difference. But children, when they do that, do you think they don't love you? They love you. We all are placed in different positions where we have to make decisions generated, motivated, and hopefully empowered by this heart of love that God has for us. That are hard decisions that might hurt somebody else's feelings, that they might say, well, that wasn't very Christian. That wasn't a heart of love. But wait a minute. Is it only a heart of love when it does it the way we want it and it feels the way we want it to feel? Or is it a heart of love when we have to make hard decisions? The term is tough love. God has to use tough love sometimes. It is part of His love. We love the love that seems so lovely. But sometimes we don't recognize the love that has to allow us to go through painful experiences. The trial of our faith works patience. Let patience have her perfect work. Sometimes we don't like that. And that kind of love is just as important as the kind of love that makes us feel so good. Do you believe it? This is a heart of love. A heart of love that is doing everything He can do to reunite us forever. Forever. And so, how do we get this kind of unconditional love? Can we get God's unconditional love in us? And just like His love is, does not mean unconditional salvation, just like that in our marriages and parenting, in our work relationships, whatever it is, we can get this kind of unconditional love. And Jesus said in John 17:3, this is life eternal, that they might know you. Who's He talking about? His Father. The only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. We need to know Him, that they might know you. That's what He said, that they might know you. To know Him, to really know Him the way that the Bible's talking about when it talks about a man and a woman, that they know each other, and they become one, the two shall become one. To know God in this way means that we will love God. We will respond to the love of God. To know Him is to love Him. To love Him is to serve Him. And to serve Him is to serve others with the love He has for us. Does that make sense? Do we have to make ourselves do it? No, it's the love of God that constrains us. And we don't have the love of God too many times because we don't spend time with the love of God. We don't spend time with the love of our lives. This girl is the love of my life, sitting right there. I'm so glad she's sitting there. This is the love of my life here on this earth. God should be the love of our life in the big picture. And if He's not, it's because we're not. And I want to be the first to tell you that I need more love for God. It's one of the reasons why I love to have my heart broken like it was this morning, kneeling beside my bed in the hotel room, because it just draws me to the heart of God. Do you need to be drawn to the heart of God? Because we can do a lot of stuff for God, but we need to be drawn into the love of God. And when we are in the love of God, we will love people. See, I love all of you this morning much better after spending that time with God, because His love changes our hearts, right? And by the way, we love what we do in ministry because we love the motivation of God in our hearts. So we need time with God. We need to know Him in order to have His love be a part of us. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. So if we're not spending much time beholding the glory of this glorious God, we aren't being changed as much as we need to be changed. We need to be intentional to take time to know God. We need to be intentional about being willing to surrender ourselves to God when self The default mode screams for my way. Yes, my way. That's our default mode. At those times when our self screams for my way, God is quietly, consistently calling for us to do this. This is the way. Walk in it. And when He calls to us, it requires us to be intentional to surrender, to exercise faith that we don't feel like exercising, and allowing God to change our hearts. And then we can love a little bit more like God loves us. In closing, I want to share a very beautiful little story. Some of you may have heard this on the news, but it's a very beautiful story that illustrates the heart of love. It was a very, very hot day in Florida. And in the backyard of this family was a fairly large, they had several acres, a fairly large pond. And on this particular day, the little boy in our story asked his mother if he could go out and swim in the pond. Very normal thing to do. And so he went out, and his mother was there at the kitchen window, like a good mother is, watching as her little boy goes out. And she's there at the sink doing some dishes. And as her little boy jumps into the water. Now I'm talking about a little boy that didn't go down and stick his toe in the water. He's like me, okay? We used to have a pond in our backyard in Montana. It was very cold, just a little bit above freezing. And I didn't go stick my toe in that. I would run down the bank and jump into the pond, and then I would get out as quickly as possible. So this little boy is running down the yard, and he jumps into the pond, and literally as he hits the water, his mother sees an alligator on the other side of the pond slip into the water. She is out the door in an instant, and as the door opens, she is screaming at her son, "Alligator! Alligator! Come back!" Because now he's running, okay, he's running. He jumps in, and he starts to swim. So she's screaming, "Alligator! Come back! Swim back to this side!" And thank God he turned around, and he's swimming for all he's worth. He's a little guy. He's swimming for all he's worth. And the mother is running for all she's worth. This is not like a backyard pool. This is acreage. And she's screaming, "Alligator!" And the neighbor hears this going on. Of course, she doesn't know that. By the time she reaches the edge of the water and her son is within reach, she jumps into the water, grabs his arm, and at the same instant, the alligator grabs his legs, both legs, in the jaws. Do you know the crushing power of an alligator's jaw? Yeah, I wish I had the statistics, but it's terrible. And she was pulling. It was a tug of war between the alligator, and she is screaming and back and forth. And this went on for a while, and she would lose her grip, and then she would lunge into the water and grab him again. And then the neighbor, who had heard her screaming, grabbed his rifle out of the back of his pickup. There are a lot of pickups out in the country. They've got their rack, a gun rack, and he heard the screaming. He grabbed his rifle. He came in. And just as she was losing her ability to hold on, he was able to dispatch the alligator. The boy is still alive, but he is critically injured. His legs are crushed, bleeding, torn. They take him as quickly as possible to the nearest hospital. They actually met an ambulance, took him to the hospital. When the surgeon there saw the condition of his legs, he did not know if he would have to amputate the legs. They were so mutilated and crushed. But fortunately, by God's providence, there was a surgeon there that took on his case and was able to do a beautiful job of sewing him back up. And a few days later, as he was recovering in the hospital, a reporter from one of the news agencies came in, a video team, and asked this little boy if, and his mother, of course, if it would be all right if they did a story on him and this miraculous situation, and they agreed, and finally the reporter said, would it be okay if I looked at your legs? And the little boy said, yeah, you can look at my legs. And so the reporter's looking at his legs, and the little boy finally said, I want you to see the scars on my arms. And the reporter was a little puzzled, and he looked, and there was all these gash marks that were healing on his arm. And the little boy said, these are the scars from my mother. She would not let me go. That's how much my mother loves me. She would not let me go. I tell you, when I heard that story, I was rereading it this morning, and that got to me. Is that a beautiful picture of a heart of love? This is the heart of Jesus when he said, I will never leave you or forsake you, because I love you with an everlasting love. And because I love you with an everlasting love, I will continue to draw you. Is he drawing your heart today? Has he been drawing upon your heart during this retreat? He's been drawing in my heart, because it's a never-ending process. Because we come to no point where we can ever say, I have arrived. Because if we get to that point, we're shipwrecked to say, I've arrived. Do you want to respond to his heart of love today? Don't be afraid of past failure, friends. Because his love is greater than our past failure. Don't be afraid that you've tried it before, because this is no different than children getting up and learning to walk and falling down. God is there to lovingly encourage us. When he needs to, he reproves us. Those I love, I rebuke and chasten, but it's because I love them, he says. Don't miss the opportunity today to respond to the heart of God. Whatever it is that may be separating you, whatever it is that may be between you and your spouse, whatever it is that may be between you and your children or problems you're facing, let the heart of God change your heart this morning. Oh, Father in heaven, thank you for being our Father. Thank you for loving us with an everlasting love. Father, as we hear the rain falling upon the roof, may we recognize that you desire to pour out your Spirit upon us. You long to do so much for us. You've already done so much for us, but you long to do something for us now to change us, to make us new creatures in Christ. Oh Lord, deliver us from our selfishness, from our self-centeredness, and help us to respond to your heart of love and to be transformed into your likeness. In Jesus' name, amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.